So it is my great pleasure to welcome for the first time to Many Rivers Books and Tea our speakers for this evening, Oksana Yufa and Jean Nathan. I hope I'm not massacring those names.
You're amazing. First time ever.
So Dr. Jean Nathan, MD, and Oksana Yufa have together worked for over 45 years in the healing professions, counseling, body work, and guiding others in mindful growth. Their training and teaching span medicine, yoga, Taoism, Toltec traditions, Kabbalah, craniosacral therapy, and integrative medicine, among others. They are here to speak to us tonight about occupying the body. So, have at it. Thank you so much
Thank
for coming
you.
Tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. I think this place is just amazing. And I refer to the bookstore, but also this community. I'm very much in awe. We recently moved up from San Diego, and just the number of people, the high quality, the level of the bar that you set for yourself is just really awesome. I'm in great awe, and actually a little nervous because of that. So if you'll forgive me a little bit of stage fright today, I'd appreciate it. And I want to say that I just did give a little talk on aware parenting because I am a pediatrician, and I've been very, very interested in how we raise masters, how we raise very aware people, not just neuropsychiatric experiments that is so common in our society, how we really raise people and how we do it as a community that supports parents as well, because we're doing it on such we're giving parents such thin support these days. So, Oksana, do you want to say... So, I'm Jean Nathan, and Oksana, do you want to say hi?
Hi, I'm Oksana Yufa, and I would like you to speak up a little bit so people will have a chance to listen to you over and over again.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will. And, well, we're recording it, so I don't know if it's fair to ask people about themselves, because I don't know if you have given permission to have your name and identity on the recording. But I have, well, I'll go ahead and just ask your name if you want to say it and why you're here tonight.
Gail. I'm here because the two of you are here, and I haven't heard you speak to a group before, and I'm very curious about how you're bringing forward the piece about occupying your body.
Thank you.
So thank you.
My name is Hal, and I also am curious to hear, because even though I've known you for some time, there's many aspects of what you do that I'm not familiar with, so definitely wanted to be here to hear what the two of you have to share.
Thank you.
I'm Betty Goodnick. I'm the mother of Stuart and the mother-in-law of Rob. And I like to support the store and its programs in every way I can.
Thank you.
I'm Stuart. I'm one of the co-founders of Many Rivers, and one of the interests I have of this program is that in our own spiritual tradition that we practice, which is related to the fourth way tradition, there's a lot of attention given to the notion of sensing, which is all about getting into the body. And so there's a sensibility about that that's very strong in both tradition and practice. So I'm interested to hear how you relate to that subject.
Thank you.
I'm Jim. I'm here to hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
I don't need to speak.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Grace. Very interested in what you have to say. I just read about it. Oh, thank goodness on my computer and came down because I'd like to write a book with tools that I've learned and have helped me. I spent most of my childhood out of body, OOB, which just became part of a funny routine I had in my head. lately, because boob is a very funny word. But it's not funny when you have to be out there and not be able to sense and use all of our skills here. And this is definitely the most awesome place to be. And so I've got a story myself to tell about that story, about that journey back, and what it takes and what that healing takes has taken for me. And I just came back from All Night with Amaji, so I'm a little bit out of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
And lots of driving.
I'm Cheryl, and I am hospital in the next week. And I got to see what was going on. So I think that there's no more time in my body. I'm also here to hear about how you are going to lead us into more embodiment. I'm here to hopefully relax and calm down and really get there tonight. And I'd love to learn how to maybe touch into that a little more.
Fantastic.
And I was, I loved the title, Occupy Your Body. My phrase has been embodiment, conscious embodiment of life. Occupy your body, bring the politics into it.
Thank you. Something came to my mind. I would like to ask you, are there people who would not like to be touched? I got an idea. It wasn't planned. Raise your hand. If you don't want to be touched, raise your hand. You can, you know, while you're in a meditation, you can... I would like you to move a little bit forward in the chair so I can walk behind you.
Beautiful.
And if you feel that it's the time when you... If you feel that you don't want me to touch you, just bring your hand up. I will translate it in the correct manner, okay? You can change your mind at any time.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. I feel like let's go right into the meditation. I had a little prepared thing, but I'm going to give you a handout on Occupy Your Body when you leave, so you can take it home and read up a little bit about that, something I wrote before. But let's just start by just putting our hands there and maybe putting your hands on your knees, someplace where it's comfortable. Your knees can support your hands, your shoulders. This stage of the game, you don't have to be, there's no rigidity in what I'm asking you to do. I just want you to just sit there, and I'm working with you to do something I call harmonizing. So if you close your eyes, sometimes that helps a little bit. If not, it's okay. But if you think about yourself as like a string in an instrument that's vibrating, and I do, and everybody else in this room is also a different string in an instrument, and they're vibrating. And like you, they had probably a pretty full day. They were up and about, they were interacting with people, doing the business, driving through traffic coming from other places. So, you know, just checking in, the first thing is to harmonize yourself with your own inner core, your own inner being. If you could say your own inner ray of light that runs straight down the top of you through the bottom of you. And in the breath, you're just paying attention. And just like when an orchestra tunes itself up, sometimes the first notes seem to be discordant, they jar, and then as the note continues, the vibration itself seems to straighten out and reach a harmonic. Now, all of us in this room are not going to have the same vibration. We're different. We're each different. But it's our natural tendency, our birthright, if you will, to find a vibration that coordinates with each other's. A little above, a little below. And that which is discordant, as you breathe, as you let go, you're just going to allow it just to fall off of you. Just let it fall off of you. You can breathe into your chest, you can breathe into your belly. And with each breath, you feel your body expand and then let go. Expand and let go. Each one of you is going to have a slightly different experience, of course. But anything that feels like it needs to just fall off of you, just allow it to. And there's so many places the body has built in to do that. There are meridians on each of the toes and fingers that can discharge. The breath itself can carry away vibrations. There's a gallbladder meridian that covers pretty much the top of your scalp, which can let go of any thoughts or ideas, any memories, any old things that are just not needed in this moment. And of course, just radiating out heat. And I can feel already that there's a lot more harmonizing happening. So you're harmonizing within yourself. You're more or less becoming one vibration and integrity, and you're harmonizing with everybody else in the room. And that's a different experience. But still, you're going to be adjusting, letting go, expanding, until it feels right, just right. I want you to just hold that place of harmonic for a little bit. If you have a place that's just sort of holding on and is not letting go, if such a thing happens, just move your breath, your vision, and your attention, those three elements, to that place, and let it release and let go. That's it. Just feel your belly and your stomach relax. Your spine. Let go of all the tension, all the unexpressed emotions of the day. In this room right now, you're safe. So that means all the shielding that you've been doing, puffing up your chest, all of that kind of stuff, you can let go of that. Whatever social mask you carried with you today, where you had to smile at people and be nice to them, you can let that go. Just for the small space of time. You can put it aside. You can pick it back up later on if you like. Yeah, that's good. So that's harmonizing. And let's coordinate. And I like to start coordinating by finding the middle point of your body. That's the point that's halfway between the top of your head and your feet, between the left and the right side of your body, between the front and the back. Usually it's somewhere in the belly, typically about an inch below the belly button and a couple of inches inside what the old Taoists used to call the Dantian. In Zen they called it the Hara. In Toltec tradition they call it the Will. Many names for it, but really what it is the exact center of the physical body that you come with. Just use your imagination, your inner sight, your inner attention, and your feeling to find it. You can even take your hand and go up and down your body till it feels just right. When you find that center, I want you to bring your inner eyesight, your inner thing, as if you are living from that place. Go down, down from the head, through the neck, through the chest, to that place. Bring the focus of your attention to assemble there. So now you have oriented yourself inside yourself. To coordinate yourself, just feel everybody around you, and you can do that even with your eyes closed. You can feel the being of everybody around you. And just find your position with everybody. Coordinate. Let's synchronize ourselves. Synchronize means bring ourselves in time with each other or with ourselves. And that's very simple. When I say now, I want you to bring yourself into the present moment. Now. 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 Now I want you to take your hands and I want you to crisscross them over your heart area. The center of your hands is an important point in Chinese medicine. It's a very big energy point. So if you align them one on top of the other and put them over your heart, there's a lot of sensitivity there. And if you really pay attention by bringing your inner sight, your inner sound, you can feel the heat and the heartbeat of your heart with your hands. And as you sit there, that heartbeat's going to get a little bigger, a little more open, a little more powerful. Why? Because your hands are a reflecting mirror. With your heart and your chest, you are now going to be able to feel your hands. And with your heart, you can feel your hands. And with your hands, you can feel your heart. You can take the point of view of your heart and the point of view of your hands. You're going to see that your hands and your heart are dancing together. They're stepping together like good dance partners. They're finding their rhythm with each other. They're finding their movements with each other. You're starting to have fun. You can almost feel that when the heart beats, the light and the energy flow out from the heart. Boom. And in between the beat, the energy flows from the hand back into the heart. Love dub, they used to say, medical school. I want you to just sit with this for a little bit. And anywhere you feel tension or tightness between your heart and your hands, in your arms, for example, or your wrist, just let go of it. Let it get looser and looser. Take your hands and crisscross them over that center point, about an inch below your belly button. And once again, with your hands, I want you to feel your body, the softness of the belly, how when the breath comes in, the belly pushes against the hands. And with the belly, you can feel the warmth of the hands. For some of you who've done this before, you can really feel that center of your will distinctly. You can feel that center of your will interplay with your hands as they crisscross. That's it. And that center of your will, that center of the belly, is so vital. How it connects to the digestion, the kidneys, the adrenals, the bladder, the reproductive organs, the intestines, the liver and the pancreas, the spleen. You can almost feel each of them dancing with that center point. As that center point of you breathes, the warmth flows out to all of those organs, to the liver, to the gallbladder, to the spleen, to the pancreas, to the kidneys and the adrenal glands. And then when the breath goes back out, why, the organs communicate back to the center. And you can almost feel each of the organs is going to let go of something cool, something hot, something tingling. Maybe they need something. Maybe they're just soaking up that warmth like a sponge. You let him soak it up. Let it all dance together. And let it feel your hands, so warm. For example, my kidneys that were a little nervous about meeting you today, they're relaxing now. I can feel the coolness of them coming back into the center of the well and warming up. And then that pushing and communicating with my hands. As they warm up, the muscles along my spine warm up. They've been tight, trying to buffer my kidneys, my adrenals. Now they can relax. It's safe. It's all clear now. And now let's do something very daring. Let's take our crisscross hands and put it over our forehead. Right between the eyebrows. You can feel your hands are probably warm. You can feel them in the center of your brain, right in the middle, where the pineal gland and the pituitary gland lie. With the hypothalamus that regulates everything. Right where the corpus callosum that communicates between the left and the right brain. You might even see light because the brain is capable of seeing the light. If you really practice this, you'll notice that all the membranes that hold the brain in place adjust at a moment like this. Also the muscles in the face and the neck. And even the bones in the skull adjust. Creates more space. All that tension, frowning, holding the jaw together. It's been pulling and pushing. And now the light that illuminates your cerebrospinal fluid is capable of circulating throughout your system. So the light from your brain is now dancing with your hands, and your hands are dancing with the light of the brain. Get tired, you can feel free to just let them come down. So, I'm going to read a little bit for you. And I'm going to talk a little bit about healing for a second, or for more than a second. And then I'm going to have Oksana talk with you after. So Oksana and I are holistic healers with over 45 years of pooled experience in this field. And at this stage of our game, this is approaches our chief occupation and effort in our lives. And I'd like to explain something because there's a lot of confusion with the words here, so I'll tell you how I see it. So people confuse holistic healing with a number of things. One is they confuse it with green medicine. And green medicine is something where you substitute natural substances and supplements for pharmaceuticals, but you still have a model of disease like Western medicine. So maybe you take cranberry juice instead of an antibiotic for a urinary tract infection. That's green medicine. Alternative medicine is when you use a different system of healing than Western medicine, like traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda or something like that. That's an alternative to Western medicine. Complementary medicine is when you're doing it in a way that coordinates with Western medicine. So somebody's taking Western medicine and you're doing something to augment or help what's happening with Western medicine. Is another word we hear, integrative medicine. Integrative medicine is when a particular practitioner, a group of practitioners, bring, instead of being alternative or complementary, they bring it all together. They integrate it into a whole. And there's a subset of that called functional medicine, which really talks about using physiologic derangements to balance those and try to attain a healing when you don't have a cure for it any other way. Now, holistic medicine, the term holistic, comes from the same root as the term hologram. And a hologram is a type of thing where the pattern of the whole is represented by any of the parts. It's all in that one place. And the way we play a hologram is we shine a laser beam on a small part, and it creates a three-dimensional picture from that small part. So the idea of holistic healing is about perceiving and shifting the pattern behind the disease. This pattern is going to show up everywhere, almost everywhere in somebody's life. It's going to be in their physical health, their metabolism, their diet choices, their thoughts, their moods, their ideas, their relationships in their family life, their posture, gesture, the way they move through space, the vibration of their energy fields, their lifestyle, and the quality and content of their words and language. Mm-hmm. So in Western medicine, they've begun to adopt some of the ideas of holistic medicine. So they do it this way. They say that some version of mind, body, spirit, and relationship. So in the way we're doing it, we send somebody to a chiropractor for the structural issues, an acupuncturist to address their meridians, a dietitian to help them with their diet, an exercise physiologist to help them with the exercise, a psychologist or counselor for improving their thinking, a family therapist or a social worker to help them with their social relationships, a surgeon or an internist to help them with their medical problems, a yoga practitioner to help them with the exercise and meditation, and an herbalist to help them with the green medicine. If you think I'm kidding, I know many people who are seeing all of this and more on a weekly basis. This is what I call not a holistic approach, but a multi-dimensional approach. And I think it's cool. It offers new possibilities and advantages, but it can be a very overwhelming experience to the energy and attention of a system that's already in distress. And it also carries a strong possibility of fractured and disjointed efforts. So I believe a holistic approach offers the most exciting and creative way to undertake a healing journey, a pilgrimage to your totality. And the basis of the pilgrimage is to become more and more aware of our patterns so that our totality sees, hears, and smells what's going on. So we did a bunch of exercises actually today, which were really a communication between your totality and your body, and you got to stand in between. And the most important thing is when the totality sees it, and I use the word seeing as a general term, then a shift will happen. It's an automatic thing. It already will happen. Lao Tse, who I just love, wrote a famous saying, which is, the cure begins when one becomes sick of the sickness, which is another way of saying the same thing. A lot of people are sick of being sick. Somebody who has a hangover is not happy about it the next day. But we can't really get sick of the sickness till we can see the sickness. We have to see and feel the pattern in order to make a change. And I'm not saying that all the other things we do, which Oksana and I do, we do Western medicine, we do herbal and homeopathy and craniosacral therapy and counseling and all those things, those are necessary to support people. I don't want to throw any of the babies out with the bathwater. But to cultivate that seeing, we need to develop our attention, our sensitivity, our discernment, and our life force. And that's what, to me, it means occupying your body. So we have a movement where they say 1% of the people are exploiting 99% of the people. And the idea, I think, is very beautiful about occupy your body, is it because it's a dialogue. It starts a dialogue, a renegotiation of how things work. Well, I'm saying that 1% of you, or most people, is taking over 99% of them. And I want to establish a new negotiation. I see a lot of people who are preoccupied, who are dashing through the world, who are shoving food down that their body isn't asking for. When I go to the airport, I don't think I make eye contact with anybody anymore. They're on their iPad, their iPhone, or their computer for the entire duration of their wait. This is preoccupying your body, not occupying your body. So I think that all of the things that we see, so many of the diseases are part of this pattern. And that's why I'm here. I'm having this conversation. We're having this conversation to begin to address it with awareness. So I'd like to turn it over to my beautiful wife, Oksana. If that's okay.
We play with words a lot. Preoccupy, occupy. We play till we blue with joy. We love words. We love words so much. We're good with words. And the words are very good with us. We started teaching together when it was very, very premature to me. Jean was a very mature performer, and I was not. But he just, it was kind of like he let me know that I have to do that, and I just did it. We started teaching 10 years ago, and we traveled. We traveled and we went to different parts of America, and we were very, very fortunate. I didn't know, he did, I didn't. We had a very committed group of people who really wanted to be free. They wanted to be happy. And we worked with them for 2 years. We were flying to Tennessee. And throughout the course of these 2 years, we did it every month. We discovered that We have nothing to give to these people if we're not in love. We have absolutely nothing to give to these people if we're not very, very happy ourselves. If we're not silly, if we're not in our bodies, we cannot, because there's nothing else to give to them. Because you can pull it through to a certain point, and then, you know, whatever you do is going to be a lie, and you're going to be busted. You're going to be busted. You're going to be busted by the most insignificant member of the crew, who would just look at you and would say, like, haha, the king is naked, you know? And that would be it. I was just this constant push we call it still grow, I guess. To grow. To be in that body. To be very kind to that body. Physical body. Because, you know, we do believe that we're not those physical bodies. We hear it all the time around us. You know, yoga teachers just say to us, straightforward, you're not your physical body. We say, mm-hmm. But what does it mean, really? Because we believe we're physical bodies. We believe that God looks like a man with a white beard, because we don't imagine anything outside of the aspect of our physicality. So we imagined that we're not physical bodies. It's something that dwells within the physical body. Something that is so desperately imagining itself to be physical body but doesn't really know what it is. Something that really bounded inside the boundaries of that physical body, they're very, very small for that thing. It's just small. The body is a very beautiful thing, but it's a finite thing. The something that occupies the body is not. How to bring to an agreement two such different creatures? The body wants to graze the grass, to bathe in the sun. Care less about computer competition, anything that is on the agenda of something that occupies it is not in the agenda of the physical body whatsoever. Something that absolutely doesn't need to sleep, feel like it's been betrayed every evening by not being able to read another page because it wants to, but the body cannot do that. And there's this really interesting relationship of two things that don't even imagine themselves to be two things. Maybe body does, I don't know. Or don't. What a trick. Who's gonna be first by offering peace? Who is going to be the first? And you know what? I tell you, it's not going to be the body. The body breaks down. The body, as large and physical and beautiful as it is, doesn't have a chance. Doesn't stand a chance. We are the rulers. We are omnipotent, invisible to the eyes of this domesticated body. We are the despotic rulers, and we're not happy ourselves. There's a big shift that happens in the world, and I think that we will all have to come to grips with the fact that we're not physical body. And that we have to make this little rotting thing feel safe, comfortable, taken care of, lulu into love, and then to get a piece of something that this body can give to us, because it's a magical creature. It comes from this earth, it knows the rules of the earth, it knows the rules that we haven't conceived yet. It can give to us so much when we surrender to it. And you know, it probably will never look like we're gonna get healthy here. From the point of view that we have of health, from the point of view that us being preoccupied thinks about health, honestly, if we are honest with ourselves, we're going to enjoy it so much. I've been so honest with myself about 4 months ago when I found a lump in my breast and I was lying on the table in snot and tears and Jean was working on me and I thought, wow, I really think that if I took a good care of this body, which I honestly have no idea what it means, I will never get there. I would never get sick. I will not have to die. I will not get gray. I would not lose my teeth. I seriously believe it. You know, I can be truthful with myself. I can hear whatever nonsense in my head and know that I have it there. Before I just believe it, I actually can hear what I say. And you know what? I really think that if I thought that, maybe there's another 3 million of people who think that too. I don't find it like that we have very different thoughts. I just thought that, you know, I misbehaved somewhere. Now I have to die. It's like, whoa. It means that if I don't, I don't have to die. If I don't take supplements, I mean, tough luck. If I take supplements, it'll never end. I think that we really misinterpret our existence here into a very unpleasant condition. We're all going to die here. We just are. I will die. I don't know when. Whether I take my supplements or not, whether my husband MD is going to work on me every day or he's going to neglect me for the rest of our marriage, the result is pretty much going to be the same. What is health? What is that holistic thing that we really think that we failed? What do we want? What do we want from us? This physical body? From our children? From people around? I think they're all really great questions for us to look at. I don't really know which part of our communication is going to be communication and where it stops to be us delivering and we have a discourse. I don't know how you plan to do that. You didn't.
Would you like to?
Yes,
hear?
I would really like to ask you.
That's the easy way to do it.
To ask you where you are, because you know I know that we have a most bizarre point of view. We so got used to communicating and hearing each other's thoughts and laughing at the same time at the same thing without talking. But you know, I really make an assumption that it's like the whole world is like that, but it's just two of us. For most of people, when we talk with them, they're lost.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Let's find out what resonated with people and what they would like to be clarified or what they'd like to share with us. Mm-hmm. Not putting anybody on the spot. Nobody has to do anything. Does anybody want to share with us or ask a question? Yeah.
Well, I can't help but revert to the, I'm pretty sure it's the Hindi philosophy that the human birth is best because of the pineal gland. When it's awakened, we can experience all eternity here. And it does bring in all the senses. It's so satisfying to the body. I believe it is how Jesus could live 40 days and 40 nights on the desert. When we really feel our thirst, like you're so beautifully bringing up and asking the questions that would, you know, help people feel their thirst, because in this culture we cover that up. And then it's very hard to feel that satisfaction, which can be done in a human body. With the pineal gland awakened, all satisfaction is right here. You don't have to go anywhere. Hope for a long life. But that's kind of like, you know, the body doesn't have to die. You can treat it well and give it what it really wants.
Someone else?
Yeah. word conversation is very important to me. You're talking about the conversation that's going on between the hands and the heart. And at the same time that the conversation's going on between the hands and the heart, there are many other conversations going on too.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all somehow choreographed. I like seeing nature as the choreographer or the choreography of all of the conversations that are going on. I look at how we occupy or inhabit language and how we understand language, what it is. I think a lot of our fragmentation comes from too small, too narrow an idea of conversation and of language. And I like that you were saying that they were doing a dance with each other. A dance is a conversation. I feel like we are, like we're still looking for our language, our true language, like the language of our real body, and that when we find the real language of our real body, then we'll be home, arrived. Is this like
you bring me to my part, actually, the thing that I prepared. But I didn't go there because I didn't take my time chat. You brought up the part with the language that I actually wanted to deliver today, and I got deviated from it. It makes total sense. You know, I really think that our job is here to clean the language first. Yes, to untangle it. To absolutely untangle it to the degree that it stops being interesting to us. Because we have a very different interest in the language right now, other than romance. It's not a romantic interest. Right now, we don't have, with the way that construct of a language is between us, not between you and me, but how we communicate with each other, for most part, it's not a romance. It's miscommunication. When that is cleared, and we have an evidence of that, when miscommunication is cleared, romance takes place automatically.
I like that.
It's just in the invasion of romance, because that's what life is. It's most intense, it's most adventuresome, it's unknown, but it's a romance. Not maybe from our current point of view, but it is a romance. And you know, I feel from there a possibility of an entirely different language, and you're absolutely right. But before it's clear, it cannot really grow. It's very deformed at this point. Absolutely. Thank you for bringing it up. You helped me too. Thank you.
So I'm sitting with moving from what you were doing to what you were speaking, and when you started talking about we're not the body, it's like, so I was feeling this real wholeness and this real, you know, all together, and then it was like, wait a minute, there's two things here. You're saying there's two things, and suddenly I went, ooh, So I got kind of confused, right? And then as you kept talking, I was sitting in the questions that you're asking. You asked a lot of questions, like, who you didn't quite use these words, but who are we, really?
Yeah.
So I'm still sitting in that. I'm sitting in that, okay, holistic oneness, but there's whatever, I'm not sure what words you would use, but the body and this other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting with that right now of two things or one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two things or one thing.
I'd say it's not an answer really, but I'd say that from my point of view and with the piece of the language, we can always say it's two things when there's a war.
Okay, can I address?
Yes.
Okay.
When
so let's take an infant in the womb. When you were in the womb, you didn't really. There was a time before you had a nervous system, before you had feeling in your fingers and hands, before you had a language that you were given by your culture that you could decode. But you still had knowledge. You still had awareness, but that awareness was home. At some point, what?
How do you know? What is this? This is just theories. It's kind of like, I want to say that I think all this is kind of like, it's kind of like deny what you know and believe a theory of what someone's telling you, but they don't really know. Like, you don't know what happened when we were in the womb. You're just telling us a story that you're
exactly.
What do you know?
Well, what I know is what my physical body right now tells me is happening. Whether that be I need sleep, I need warmth, I need food, I need a certain kind of food, I need to cool out on my late nights, I need to cool up on my early mornings, whatever it is, physical is the closer I can get to serving my physical in a healthy, happy way, the closer I am to a healthy, true me, is how I feel. And I think that this kind of distance, like, I think the whole, like, conspiracy about, actually, you aren't the body trip, I think that's really unhealthy, to tell you the truth. I think
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a weird patriarchal gibberish,
mm-hmm.
like, to keep us away from, like, nature, which is our mother, which is our body, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I think if you're gonna, really, spirituality will happen, if it's gonna happen, if there's something to happen for you, it's gonna happen through serving your body
mm-hmm.
in a really healthy way. And so
mm-hmm.
to sort of deny it or say that this is a separate or what happened before we had is all kind of like, to me, this
mm-hmm.
is me personally,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of nonsense. It's kind of like theory nonsense
mm-hmm.
rather than coming back to more like what he was saying, where he's feeling, believe yourself, believe your feelings. If you feel warm and whole and like you're coming back to who you are, that's what you're doing. And that's where you should put your faith, right?
So when we did the exercise with touching your hands and stuff, how did that feel for you?
It was okay. I've had better, I've had worse, you know, whatever. It's typical, you know, meditation. You lead people in meditations and they quiet themselves down, you know. We've all been there, we've all done this drill. So it's cool, you know.
Did you quiet down?
Somewhat.
Somewhat, yeah. Do you feel quiet now?
I feel like myself. Sometimes I feel calmer and more spiritual, you know, more centered. Sometimes I feel more excited. I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle, like usual. I'm not much of a public speaker, so when I start speaking in front of a group, I tend to get a little charged, and I'm not really my calmest. Like at home, you know, sitting with my boyfriend, I'm really calm. But, you know, so that's just what it is. But I'm just saying, yeah,
thank
that's
you.
What we thought. And
so, thank you. So you give us a really great opportunity to say that. We're performers here. We're not a circus. We're not liars. We're not here the messiahs. You don't have to believe it. Don't believe it. We don't invite you to fight with us, but just believe us. We brought here our point of view. That's the best that we can do. We didn't come here to convert anybody into anything. We didn't really even bring a religion of a particular type. We brought here a body of experience, and that's how our experience was happening. Because everything that we said, even though you passionately say the same thing that we said, to my mind, we just add yet another element. How to be in that body. And we're telling you how we actually happen to arrive really into the depth of this body and to stop fighting with it. That's very interesting that nothing that you said contradicts it. We don't invite people to disengage further from the body. I don't know if it's possible. It's not possible. We are pretty much far from the body.
Did you think you were contradicting?
I just thought, I felt like that was a time to speak up when it becomes more like the story about before you had nerves, you knew everything, but he doesn't know that. This is,
So listen to him. You know. Listen to him. You don't want to listen to him? Don't. Mm-hmm. But then he came here with the story. So did you. Mm-hmm. We all here with our story. Yeah. And the energy behind the story. And something that one can deliver via this story.
Okay, I just felt like that was. I just felt like
that's fine. Kind of that's fine. I don't. I'm fine about you.
Wait a minute.
I'm fine about you, but I'm telling you that he is a storyteller. So are you. And you know what? That's how we communicate. We communicate via stories. And when we communicate with stories that are interesting and magical, magic happens and healing happens. Mm-hmm. When we communicate through stories that are charged, full of indignation, protest, whatever it is, nothing happens because that's where we are right now. And that's what we see as a language of romance and language of, let's call it conventional language of everyday life. That we talk to each other, we don't grok.
What this distinction makes me think of is the distinction between allegory and stories that are intended to be fact-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, when you talked about the realization that this body's going to die, that to me, for the most part, it seems to be about as fundamental a fact as I have beyond the sense that there is some sort of sense of subjectivity or awareness in my existence. And those are the two kind of poles of my reality, the fact of awareness and the fact of death of the body. But the story that you were telling, I guess I didn't have the same reaction that you had, although I appreciated you expressing that very much. In the sense that when I hear a lot of, let's call it, you know, different kinds of storytelling, you can call it new aginess or whatever, mm-hmm. I relate to it as allegory, which is, does the story convey or engender in me a feeling or an emotional mm-hmm. experience that's useful?
Yes. You know what? Actually, he didn't have a chance to actually go anywhere with his story.
Story.
He just started the story, and it triggered something in someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think it's.
Do you know what was the story? We don't know.
And we can return to the story, but I think
right.
it's a useful. For
yeah.
me, it's at least helpful that I don't have to relate to the story as a truth claim.
Absolutely not.
And I get the impression that you're not putting it forward as a truth claim. It's more call it a song or an allegory or something like that. It takes you to a certain place that may have information in terms of the feeling state that it induces.
Right.
It's my personal experience of my journey into that place. So for me, it is truth. And it makes sense to me in the sense that it feels right and I have understanding. It holds under the things that I have. In my, I can stand under it. It took me to a place of seeing. That's what I'm trying to say. It took me to seeing a pattern. And I want to say that that's part of pattern recognition, is seeing things. It's like this clear lens begins to happen and we see things differently. But it's true. My experience is, I can say that that was my experience. It was true for me because I experienced it. It might not be true for you. It might not be your experience.
Well, that's a...
And my choosing to share it is because yes, it's kind of like a meditation. I want to bring you to a certain place of seeing that I've seen. Exactly right. And I'm offering you the invitation of going there and possibly seeing something else, much as you would go see a movie or read a book and see somebody else's point of view that might illuminate something for you. Because I have spent some time doing this. Of course, I don't know what I felt when I was a womb, but I can use my faculty of imagination. And my faculty of imagination is a very important thing. Imagination is an extraordinarily powerful tool.
Well, I can remember things, not just through my imagination, my memory. And nobody can tell me that I can't remember yesterday and that I can't remember my conception. It's my
somebody can.
Yeah.
Some would always want to tell you.
Is that in the exercise we did, we used that faculty of imagination big time to bring us to a certain point, which did alter most of your physiology to a particular place. And that's what we do in our mind all the time. We have our brains light up when we imagine doing things as if we actually did them. And they have physiologic effects and healing effects. So we use these for particular purposes. Thank you.
I appreciate a pleasure I got when one of you was talking about sort of the very autocratic and the rulers of our body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, and how cut off we are. We're not in dance and dialogue, in that when we can feel into and be, come from body, it's a very different experience. And I think there's a circuitous thing going on here, but I want to say I very much appreciate what you said. I had a really strong reaction to some of when you said, you are not your body, because I am my body. I am the molecules around my body, the universe, etc. And that I don't see a differentiation really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that clear distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Except when you pointed out how I drive my body, and there is some separation.
Okay.
I appreciated experiencing that the degree to which I override being, and I think maybe feeling this feeling, the imagining feeling, being in the womb, because there is a limbic system feeling of something that feels more whole. And I'm interested in trying to go back there, rekindle some sense of more of a wholeness in it, living from that place. And new language would come from that place.
Mm-hmm.
But I very much agree, and I appreciate your coming forth and talking about this whole business of people saying you are not your body, and then people go, yeah, yeah, it's just a big split.
I'd like to just,
mm-hmm.
Let me put my point of view, because I didn't say that, but I'm gonna clarify what it means for me, how I see it. So I don't know if this is true or not, but I read this in the textbooks of neurophysiology, so it must be true. So it's said that the conscious mind does about 40 instructions per second. I don't know how they measured that, but somebody's measured the sort of the computing power of the conscious brain is 40 instructions per second. That the subconscious mind does 25,000 instructions per second. The part that we're having a conversation that's filtering, that I think Exxon is talking about that 40 instructions per second. That's the part that is not purely the body. That is a switchboard to me that is digesting that whole dance of nature, if you will. And I don't think 25,000 instructions per second is done. My experience of what I've experienced leads me to consider at least the possibility that a lot more is going on than that 25,000 instructions per second. No one has yet found the anatomical root of memory. They have done experiments where they've chopped up injury has chopped up every part of the brain, and we can't get rid of it. Memory doesn't seem to live inside the switchboard of that neurologic system. There's a lot of other things that are going on that happen much faster and differently. There is a mind that is above and beyond the central nervous system, which seems to be one of the attitudes that have, and I don't think that everybody's caught up with that. So what I'm saying is that the way I see it from my medical, physiological point of view, when Oksana says that we are not the body, she's saying that the 40 instruction per second conscious mind that has this thing considers itself to be the body, but it often does not have much communication with that body. So that's my two cents.
You know, when we're little, and I remember that because it's not when we were in the womb, and we would tell each other stories, and we would tell how we go there, and then we fly, and then we drown, and then we go to Mexico, and then we marry each other, and when we divorce, and then, and everything backwards, and from left to right, and from middle to, and then at certain age, we cannot say that, because the one in front of us would tell us it's not true. But at certain age, we can tell that, because the one in front of us would be like this. Do you remember the time? Do you remember the time when we were nailed by not telling the truth? What does it mean? Why did you break the vase? Why? Tell me now. That's the truth. The interesting part is that we still consider that to be the truth. That fact that we concocted in our head from fear and this desperation of justification. That is the naked truth of our life now. And that is not true. That is not true. You know, I imagine the rage of the reaction here when I tell, but we're liars. If we tell stories all the time, we're liars. What's bad about that? What's bad about it? What's not right about it? What's not magical about it? What? When our children are creating stories out of nothing, what's not absolutely fantastic and enlightened about it? You know, we can hear only half a sentence before we consider it's truth or not, useful or not, profitable or not, decent or not. If we listen to something and the voice in our head says, and what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Can you sell it? Can you give it to a friend? Can you feel superior with that? If not, you wouldn't even listen to the rest of the sentence. That is how we do the magic in our adulthood. That is tight. That is our current language. That is our current language. That is not a romance. Romance is not, am I going to marry this guy or not? Because if I'm not, I'm not going to listen to the end of his sentence. If I'm not going to marry him, he cannot lie to me. But if I marry him, he can say some, you know, three more sentences because, you know, I'll consider that. That's what us. Who are we? That body? And I don't want you to share my point of view. But just look how I'm so grateful to you that we can have that conversation. I don't want to put my dot on that. I don't want to be right because I don't care. I am certainly right in my life. And you know what? I'm being busted every day. First of all, by myself. By saying lies that are not productive. That are not comfortable. to anybody, including myself, myself first, because that's what comes first.
So in there,
yes,
is a implied way of, I don't know if it's measuring truth or not, in terms of the productivity or the way in which a story leads to harmony. So, for instance, there are lots of people tell stories out there. Some stories are actually quite destructive when they are stories about that make truth claims that inspire people to do violence against other people. And there's plenty of stories like that.
Yes.
And what I heard you just say was sort of an answer to a question that I had, or was about to ask, which is, how do you distinguish or discriminate between stories that, since we can't really tell, since truth is a very nebulous thing,
okay,
and we look at a continuum of stories, some mm-hmm. stories are not productive.
Yes.
Some stories lead to interesting places.
Yes.
Just like some sounds are very destructive to the organism, and some sounds are beautiful, ecstatic music.
Absolutely.
So what I get, what I'm hearing you say, is that in your relationship to stories or words or the conversation, is
yes.
that it's more like listening to music,
yes.
or listening to sounds, and some music can transport us to transcendental places that allow us to see in different ways.
Yes.
And other stories can take us to some very dark, contracted places.
Yes. And we have a mechanism of distinction, and the mechanism is being this body. The physical body knows, because the physical body produces the feeling. It knows whether, it implicitly knows whether it likes something or really doesn't care.
So when you hear a concept like conscience,
yes.
you locate that in the intelligence of the body.
Absolutely. Because we have a story about it, and the story is largely, at this point, largely, and you have all the right to disagree with me. It's my point of view only. The story is largely moralistic. We believe in moral. We believe in what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. And in believing that, it's very hard for us to distinguish whether this body likes it or not. Because we give the command, and it obeys. There's nothing wrong about it. But we can give a clear command. We can retrain the body to eat pure heaven, and to give that command constantly to the body. So it becomes an organ of acquired perception. Acquired perception. Let's say we don't like something. We don't like the sound. We don't like the conversation. We don't like point of view. Does it mean that we're going to turn around and walk away? Most likely we're going to stay there and argue. And we're going to say we don't like it. Ha ha. Whom are we talking about? Who doesn't like it? And why, if we don't like it, we don't turn away and walk away? There's something maybe we would like. Do you see what I mean? We're addicted to something that we say we don't. It's very convoluted at this point. But I believe it walks towards the clarity. I know you know what I'm talking about, because you just said it. You totally understand it. But there is a dialogue that goes along with that, which is coming from something else. And it's still strong. But, you know, the more light you put in there, the straighter the conversation becomes, the more twisted, the less this unpleasantness has a chance to survive. Because you stop caring about morals. You don't fight, you don't serve it on the plate to anybody else. It's not about that. You just start living your truth. You stop even being indignant about anything. You just leave it already. Why?
Right.
Absolutely. That's how you save the energy from leaking. And that's how you become stronger. And that's how you did it. That's how you did it. I know that. Because you gathered that energy. You put it together there. Mm-hmm. So the body is the thing. We need this body. I mean, you know what? On this earth, the moment the body goes, we have to go somewhere too. We're in this symbiotic relationship. And now I'm telling you my fairy tale, okay? Please don't get upset with me again. Well, you can, but don't torture yourself. I'm your peer. I'm not older than you or wiser than you or anything. I have a different point of view. And I have experiences that created a body of evidence in me. They're my bodily experiences. I invited my body to follow my experiences. And my body helped me tremendously in this experience. I have a very good relationship with this girl. Very good relationship with her. She trusts me implicitly. I invite her in very hard places. Hard for a conventional person, maybe. But she trusts. I don't abuse her. I love her very, very, very much. It's not just the words. You know what? I'm delighted to be here with you. Jean said to me, it's going to be a very hard audience today. He didn't use the word hard, but he said very mature, because I gave him some idea and he said to me, really? I don't think they're there. And I just was laughing because my assumption of what people are going to say, you know, I have my conversation in my head. Oksana talks with Oksana. And Oksana imagines that she talks to the audience of Many Rivers. And then Oksana imagines that she talks to Jean. And then Oksana imagines this and that. And then Oksana, by the day, end of the day, Oksana is exhausted because all these people, they have such different opinions. And then she goes to Jean and she says, how dare you? And Jean says, honey, I think you're making an assumption about who I am. And Oksana goes, oh, it's him. Mm-hmm. I love this man. I don't know him. The whole day I thought it was something in my head, you know, arguing with me, and he never does. Guys, we are very sophisticated people. We just are. Not because we make up stories that you cannot understand. We just are. Those stories are delightful. And they can lead us to freedom. When we start playing in our head, more than we do now, it becomes a delight. Because that's what we are. We are dreamers. We are dreamers. When the dreamer becomes free, we can put whichever mask. I'm not talking about lying to somebody. I'm talking about we wear masks anyway. I'm talking about becoming alive behind the mask. So the body doesn't have to do this all the time. We are alive and the body can rest. And we can put different masks on our face. And become a doctor, and become a postman, and become Rumi, and become whatever we knew how to become when we were little. No one had to teach us because we looked and we saw and we could duplicate it because we were free. That is holistic. For a dreamer to dream and to imagine and to change scenarios, we call it lie, and we're so scared of it. And that's a fearful universe. That is a fearful universe. And we just, you know what, it's difficult, but imagine that I love that I don't know who he is. To me, it's like a magical land. When tomorrow is a new day, a different possibility, a challenge that I'm totally up to, even if I'm going to be screaming and kicking, it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's just a part of the game. It's implicit. I kick and scream, and then I accept, and then it doesn't matter. I invited life into my corner of the neighborhood. And to someone, it's, you know, this, I mean, we all know, I'm divorcing this man now, and you know what? I didn't know whom I was married to. Yes, you're right. You never knew whom you were married to. Even if you lived with him 55 years, you didn't know him. How could you? You don't know yourself. What a delight not to know someone and know that you don't. We can live like that. When we stop accusing each other and lying, when we just listen to a dream and it's like, I don't think so, and we turn around and we find an audience or we find someone who tells something to us and we love it. Wow. There's 7 billion of us. 7 billion. Can you find 1,000 of interesting storytellers for yourself? You're in heaven. They're going to listen to you and say, wow, man, I was looking for you all my life. It just jives with me. I know what you say. And they start telling you and you know that they don't. But you like to listen to them too. And there's this amazing thing happening. Yes, we are liars. So what?
I think our time is coming up.
Our time is past. We're so sorry. Thank you so much. You're most patient, most kind, and I don't know, you didn't throw tomatoes at us. You didn't leave in the middle of this. We can take it somewhere.
Still here. And we thank you for still being here.
You're so very
many others. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is. It's going to be fighting. Here's our...